So, the last few weeks we've been talking about what's so good about God. You know, you'll always hear someone saying, God, you're good. And he is good. But what's good about him? You know, I think we needed to put it into words. And so, in recent weeks we've said that God so loved the world. We said the one thing that you cannot take away is this. God is fundamentally, by his nature and character, love, or in Greek, agape. He is agape. He is a love that is committed, selfless, faithful. He is that type of love. And his love sent his only son who paid for our freedom. So we've said that. We've also said that everything we face in life, and I know that we face a lot, that not one of those things can possibly contradict that God loves us. So when all hell lets loose in your life, just remember this, it doesn't change the fact that God loves you. And we need to approach the problems of life and the troubles of life with the certainty of knowledge that God indeed is love. So we've said that evil doesn't come from God, but it comes from our faulty world. It comes from spiritual authorities. Some of it comes from ourselves, and it certainly comes from people around us. And we talked a lot about Job that week, and we said that really, that this is just a reality of our fallen world, and that you can't put trouble at God's door. We just can't say that God did it, because he didn't. You know, cancer isn't from God. Heart disease isn't from God. A stubbed toe isn't from God. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It's not from God, but the reality of life is that God is still good and is still love. And then last week, we talked about God being a fair judge and that we will all give account of ourselves to him. And we talked about, you know, how, why is it some people are incredibly wealthy and have nothing goes wrong for them and they're dripping gold and they go from their yacht to their private jet. But we said that a lot of that is because God is patient. And we want him to be patient with us, don't we? And so we have to allow for the fact that he's being patient with other people too. And God will settle all accounts. And so we need to go through life remembering this, that it's not our job to write down in a little book people who've been ever so naughty and keep notes of it, because God's doing that. The Bible talks about a recording angel. And I tell you what, I'm glad that everything that's written in a book about me, I've got a lawyer in heaven called Jesus, and he says to his father, Father, it's all right, this one's mine. And so we have to be grateful for stuff like that, we really do. So today, part four, what's so good about God is like Noddy. Now some of you have no idea who Noddy is. Now when I was at school, there was a joke about Noddy. Noddy was a little cartoon creation, thank you. And he had a lovely car, and when I was about two, I had a little Noddy in his car with his friend. But this is Noddy, and that's Big Ears. Can you tell why he's called Big Ears? You know, you can't see why, can you? He makes Mr. Spock from the Enterprise A look normal. Yeah. So why have I said to you is like Noddy? Because God has big ears. Now that was a very elaborate setup, wasn't it? But I want you to understand something. God does have big ears. He can hear you. Sometimes people say to me, but how will he hear my voice? My voice is just one amongst billions. But let me tell you this. God hears everybody individually. When Paul Anderson says Father God and then Hazel says Father God in the same breath, for God, There's just an orderly queue. He hears them all. Everyone, he hears you as an individual. He hears Paul Anderson. He hears Hazel. He hears us all individually. He hears exactly what you say. He knows exactly what you mean. He is a God who has big ears. And the psalmist says this, does he who implanted the ear not hear? Now, this is God. He made ears. And are you really going to say the God who makes ears doesn't hear? That would be ridiculous. And I love that verse because it challenges us to realise that if God can make ears for you, what about the servant of the high priest in the Gospels who had his ear chopped off? The only man in history to have had 3 ears at the same time. God, Jesus healed him. He had one on each side and one on the floor. It's amazing. It really is amazing. But God, who happens to have a full set of spare parts, he implanted the ear and he has one himself. He's got a pair. In fact, he's got loads. He's got loads of eyes, loads of ears. He knows exactly what's going on. You cannot think for one moment that God has missed your prayer. Why do we think that God has missed our prayers? Because we don't get an instant response. You see, these days, we want instant response. The other day, me and Pauline, we went to that high-class restaurant. It's called McDonald's, yes. The one with the golden arches. It was you that told me about the golden arches. I didn't know that until you told me. But you see, it's a great place because it delivers slow food. We waited ages for our Big Mac meals. And I don't know if I said it to Pauline or Pauline said it to me, because the two are almost as one. When one of us said to the other, well, we could have gone to a slap-up restaurant and waited less time than this. But it was a very busy night and there were lots of people and not many staff. And you've got to understand that. But why was I talking about McDonald's? Anybody know?
No. You want an instant.
Instant, thank you, instant. We want instant gratification, as Mary Vaughan says. We want it now. It's like when we pray to God, God, will you give me patience? And give me it now. That's how we pray. That's how we think. But God has the ear. And we have to remember, we have to give him the ability to fulfill our prayers.
And we have to be patient.
And sometimes being patient is part of that. Okay. So, what we had read to us today is this. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Now, some of you in this room have slightly challenged hearing. You have, haven't you? It's true. Yep. Well, well done. Now listen, God is not deaf. He is not losing it with age. Now the truth is, all of us lose a bit with age. God doesn't. God hears. He understands. And let me assure you that his hearing is good. But, it says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Yeah. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Sometimes our sin is making such a loud noise that our words can't get through to God. But God will still hear. And you just need to recognize that sometimes you need to say sorry to God and allow God just to wash it all away, so that he will respond to what he hears from you. Psalm 34 says this, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. Who are the righteous? What was that, David? Did you say something? Sorry.
Us.
Us. Thank you. Somebody gets it right. We are the righteous because Jesus, who is righteous, morally perfect, has given his righteousness to us so that whereas we are not morally perfect, we can stand in the presence of God. It's right standing before God. That's what righteousness is. That is such a good Old Testament quote that Peter thought he would quote it again. 1 Peter 3 verse 12. And it says cry in the Psalms. It says prayer in Peter. But you can understand the two words are the same meaning. And it says that because Peter is quoting Psalms from the Septuagint, the Greek version, which is what he used. And so that's why it's different. Now listen. God hears you. You need to take this away today as your one learning point is that God is the God who hears. It is not that your prayers are not working. A man said to me once, he said, oh, I never pray for myself. I said, why? You're ill. He said to me, no, I never pray for myself. Well, God's so busy answering other prayers, I don't want to get in the way. And I thought of that when I buried him. And you know what? I think it's sad when we won't ask God because we think he's a bit busy at the moment. Yes. Listen, your GP's a bit busy. The other day, I waited 22 minutes for my GP's surgery to answer the phone. Sometimes it's difficult to get through to a doctor. It's actually never difficult to get through to God. We just have to speak it out. We just have to say it. Let me encourage you. Talk to him. It's really, really important. Pray out of relationship. Do a man and a wife talk? Well, if you don't, we need to arrange the pastor's counselling day. Now listen. All relationships depend on good communication.
I've got a relationship.
They really do. Communication is vital. It's really important that we talk to each other. And why would it be any different at all with God? You see, some people, they think you've got to go in a building with a huge spire, an enormous echo that doesn't tolerate PA equipment well. A building that is so cold that you don't have to ever worry about heating again because you'll never come out because you'll die of the cold while you're there. There are so many places where people think you have to sing like this. Amen. Now listen, I'm not knocking that. If it rings your bell, that's fine. But what I am saying to you is this. Buildings are not the place where God is. God is where his people are, and all we have to do is talk to him. Sometimes I'm walking down the street talking to God, and do you know what? Nobody looks at me like I'm weird because they think I've got an earpiece in and I'm talking to someone on the phone. And if I ever get a weird look from somebody, I just grab my phone out and I carry on talking. Because these days it's all changed. Everybody does that now. It's not just weirdo Christians like Stephen Redman. We all walk down the street talking to somebody now. But we can talk to God. And we should talk to him. We should reach out to him. We should let him know how it's hurting. Somebody once said to me, I don't know if this is true, I haven't researched this, but someone once said to me, a third of the Old Testament is moaning to God. I've lost the proper word now.
Lament,
thank you. About a third of the Old Testament is lament. I mean, if you've not read Jeremiah, really read Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a fantastic book. I've just read Jeremiah because I'm on to Ezekiel now. Jeremiah is a fantastic book, but it's full of lament. Yeah. And you go over and read Lamentations. Okay. The clue is in the name. Lamentations. If you go into Lamentations, there's so much lamenting. When you get to chapter 3 and he talks about you are your blessings are new every morning, it's like, what a fantastic revelation, because all of the rest of it has seemed to be a problem. It's perfectly all right to tell God how you're feeling.
Yeah.
God wants to know. And I would suggest to you, it's very important that we talk to God. In the beginning, they talked to God. This, it's quite clear that in the late afternoon, in the cool of the day, that God would physically manifest and walk with Adam and Eve. Now, you know, we think about incarnation at Christmas, but it used to happen every day in Eden. God would manifest himself and come down and talk to Adam and Eve. And it was amazing. What something they gave up. You see, God does not physically manifest to talk to Steve Redman when he's walking through Micklegate. He doesn't. But I still can talk to him. But what a wonderful time that must have been for human beings. And he used to walk around with Adam around Eden and say, Adam, what do you call this? And Adam would say, but Lord, you made it. And he'd say, no, Adam, I made it for you. You name it. And Adam named everything. And if you've got Slow Train Coming, the album by Bob Dylan, you'll know God gave man the job of naming all the animals. It's a great song. So it's important that we understand that God wants to hear from us. If actually all you can say to God is hippopotamus, which is what Adam said to him one day, God still wants to hear that.
Yeah.
And if your prayer is, what I need for Christmas is a hippopotamus, then we all know that song. Praying out of relationship is so important. That's why when Jesus gave us the pattern for prayer that is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, it starts with Our Father. Now, why has the church ignored for centuries that it's about relationship when everybody knows that? You don't even ever have to be in a church to know those words. Our Father. This is about relationship, and we need to remember that. So praying is always having a chat with God. It really is. Sometimes I get up in the middle of the night, because I do, and I just sit down in my chair and I have a little natter with God. And that gets me to sleep very quickly, actually. But no, seriously, you know, talking to God is such a breakthrough. And afterwards, you feel so much better. If you say to me, well, Stephen, I'm feeling rubbish at the moment. Well, are you actually talking to God? You know, talk to God. When I was a young man in church, our pastor, he would always say the same thing whenever you went to see him. I remember once going to see him because, you know, there were problems in my life, and they were all to do with the craziness of life and women, you know, women. Oh, good grief, women are such a problem. And I wanted to talk to him about that. And he said to me, Stephen, tell me about your quiet times. Tell me about what you're reading this week in the Bible. Now, today I would have said Ezekiel. But you see, I was just felt he was fobbing me off. I felt he wasn't answering what I was asking him. But he said to me, Stephen, what time of the day do you talk to God? And I said, but Pastor, that isn't what I came to see you about. And now, decades later, I find that this is my opening line to most people too. Because really, our relationship with God is everything. And it needs to be based on, are we hearing him? Are we talking to him? And it's really very, very, very critical. And so my pastor, who I felt was an idiot, actually was a lot cleverer than I gave him credit for, because he was asking questions that needed an answer. And I would suggest to you, If you aren't talking to God, no wonder nothing's working for you. Talk to him.
Talk to him in the garden like the
pray, song. Prayer is heard. Prayer is heard. Acts 10 verse 31, the angel says to Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. This is a man who was not a godly man. He was not from a godly nation. But he prayed and God heard him and sent an angel. And the angel sent Peter. And Peter prayed for him and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. This was a man who had an amazing experience with God. And it was all down to communication. It was down to talking to God. Everything we know about Cornelius. Do you know the story of Cornelius in Acts 10 changes the whole gospel? Because Peter goes back to the church in Jerusalem and he says, look guys, I know this sounds a bit weird, but I've just been and prayed with a Roman, an uncircumcised person, and he's been filled with the Holy Spirit and received Jesus, and so has everyone in his house. And they're saying, oh, that's terrible, Peter. That's terrible. Oh, you can go and join the Presbyterians or you can go to that other church in Acom, you know, where they've got that school. You can go and pray. Go there. You don't want to go. No, because their church had to change. We had to learn that actually the uncircumcised, of which there are a lot more than there are circumcised, the non-Jewish people are welcome too. I think that's fantastic because I'm not Jewish. I think it's fantastic that I'm welcome in God's kingdom. Yeah. God wants me to talk to him. Yeah. He's got big ears.
Yeah.
So, James says this, the intense prayer, have you ever prayed intensely?
Yeah.
Oh, that's something.
Yeah.
Praying intensely. Praying when there's nothing else you can do. Praying when you've just got to talk to God. It says this, Elijah was a man with a nature like us. Elijah was a man like you. Elijah was a man like Des Mossop. Now you might look in your Bible and say, I don't see Des Mossop there. But the Bible says to me that Elijah was a man like you. Elijah was a man like you. And Elijah was a man like June. Even though he wasn't a woman. Basically, the Bible says Elijah was like the rest of us. And we look at Elijah and say, this is the man who prayed and fire fell from heaven. And they killed all the false prophets of Baal. And it's a fantastic story, isn't it? Up Mount Carmel and how he pours the last drop of water in Israel over the wood. And fire comes down and licks up the water and licks up the wood. And everyone says, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. What a fantastic story. If you want to cheer yourself up, read that in Kings. It's absolutely brilliant. But James says this. You are just like that man. And you say, what? But Elijah trusted God. He believed. He believed it wouldn't rain when he prayed. He believed that. Well, yeah, it did. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. But the point is, there's no difference between you and Elijah.
That's right.
God's got big ears for both of you.
Yeah.
And we ought to remember that. We ought to remember that indeed. What we ought to ask ourselves is, who is praying for us? Now today we've been asked to pray for a man in Rawcliffe near Goole, and we're going to carry on praying for him. But you know, it's important that we ask the elders to pray in church. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders who will pray over him, anointing him with olive oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick person. When you are in desperate need, call for the elders. And if you can't make it to church, we'll come to you. Yeah? Who else should you get to pray for you? You should get the church to pray for you. Peter was in prison and he got the church to pray for him And when he prayed for the church, when the church prayed for him, it says this, that an angel came, a light shone in the cell, and his chains fell off his wrists. Isn't that astonishing? How amazing is that? That's because the church was praying. Church, we need to pray together. It's important that we pray for those who are in need. Our corporate prayer is good because God hears every prayer that Xander prays. He hears every prayer that Elsie prays. He hears every prayer that Jude prays. So when the three of you get together and pray, and you're praying about the same thing, the effect is magnified. God, who has big ears, hears all of our prayers. How important is that? So, we should be united in prayer. It says in Acts chapter 1, the whole church was continually united in prayer, and it particularly says with the women. Let me tell you, there are some women who are great prayers. And if you know women who are great prayers, get them to pray for you. There are certain women who I make sure I'm on their list. It's so important that we are united in prayer. It's very important indeed. And join in. You can join in helping with prayer for us, Paul says. Isn't that wonderful? The Apostle Paul, this great man of God, this man who wrote the most of the theology we know and believe, Paul himself says, oh, and you can join in. Yeah. Isn't that great? Yeah. Oh, I think it's wonderful. So, who is praying with you? Well, we need to pray, and we need to pray in the way that Karen quoted this morning and Elsie said without having a Bible open from memory. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves. You know what? Don't think it's a big deal to abase yourself before God. Get down and pray. Just talk to him. He wants to hear from you. Pray, seek his face, and of course, turn from your wicked ways. Repentance is a key issue in prayer. Then God will hear. God will hear, because he's got big ears. He will hear, and he will forgive your sin and heal your land. And we need healing in our land, don't we? Okay, practical tips, and we're nearly there. Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything, but pray. Don't worry, just pray. Some of us, we have got A grades at O levels, I'm sorry, GCSEs in worry. We've got A levels, we've got bachelor's degrees, first class ones in worry. Some of us have got a master's degree in anxiety, and yet we're not that good on the prayer bit. You know what? Jesus says, turn it round. Pray, don't worry. Really, it's so important. Ephesians 6, pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. Now, theologians have a little bit of argument about what pray in the Spirit means, but most of them these days agree that you can pray in tongues and that makes a load of difference. And you know what? Some mornings this is a shock to many of you because it is I, your pastor, speaking. But some mornings, I don't always feel as good as I do other days. But I tell you, there's nothing that isn't fixed by 10 minutes of praying in tongues. The Bible says that if a man who prays in a tongue edifies himself, builds himself up. And why would God tell you that if it wasn't advice? You know, pray in tongues. Pray. It's all prayer does you good. And Romans 12, be persistent in prayer. Keep praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says the same thing really. Pray without ceasing. Now listen, this means all day and every day move in and out of prayer. You can say, but I've got a job to do. Yes, I have a job to do. Thank God my part of my job is praying. But you know what? When I used to manage superstores for PC World, I was in and out of prayer. If I had an angry customer in front of me, I was in prayer. When I had a guy in front of me raising his fist and the fist was swinging towards me, all I had time for was one word prayer, which I said aloud, which was Jesus. His fist hit me firmly on the nose and he fell over. And you know what? I didn't even have a bruise. God answers prayer, but we need to be praying. I want to encourage you, wherever you are, be in and out of prayer. It's so important that we're talking to him who has big ears. Revelation 8 has this wonderful picture for us, a wonderful picture of prayer. It says the smoke of the incense with the prayer of the saints rises before God. When we pray, it's like a sweet smelling incense to God. You know what that's? You've smelt sweet smelling incense, haven't you? It's wonderful. I have to say, I went to a One Voice meeting once where we had some very orthodox people there, and they came and started swinging a censer and doing the whole incense thing, and I had to run out because I had a coughing fit. Yeah. But in general, I have no problem with incense. In general, I quite like the smell, except when it gets down my throat and I have to go out for a cough. But you know what really matters is that your prayers are rising now before God, like incense. Rising. Our prayers are rising before God. Do you know what that says to me? It says to me they're not gone in a flash. Oh Lord God, touch Jim and make him well. And we think, oh, that's it. It's gone. No. It's rising, still rising in heaven. It's rising before God. It's like incense. It's like you can see it. Can you imagine? God can see your prayers as well as sniff them. God sniffs our prayers. Isn't that amazing? All of this is important that we understand that God, who has big ears, he wants to engage with you, and you need to make a step, which is a step of prayer. Okay. Summary. This is where we're at. Go and talk to God, because he's got big ears. Whatever you're facing, if you go home today, perish the thought that water's coming through the ceiling. I hope you're paying that pound a month to Home Service, who will come and send someone out. But you know, whatever your provision, whether you've got a friendly plumber or whatever, talk to God about it. You know, really, the big thing is where do we take our concerns first? Do we take them to the GP? Do we take them to HomeServe? Do we take them to the neighbour? Or do we take them to God? First of all, let's go to God. Confess your sins to God. Leave nothing in the way of relationship. Because our conversation with God, it should all be relational. Let's make sure we've got everything out of the way. Talk to him all day. You know, in and out of conversation with God. It should be absolutely marvellous.
I do it when and I'm washing
it, up. It is. Yeah, when you're washing up, love, you talk to God. And when I'm loading...
I'm packing up, though, when I do it.
When I'm loading the dishwasher, I do that. You see, I don't wash up. Because I'm slacker than you are. But what's important is we talk to God. It's really important that we talk to God. This is how good God is. He will listen to you. So we've talked about God loving us. We've talked about, you know, sickness isn't from God. We shouldn't blame God for that. We've talked about all these evil people who seem to do well in life. Well, God's saving up judgment for them. But this is how good God is. He will always listen to you. Now, whoever the Prime Minister is today, people come and go. We had one Queen for 70 years. Now we've got a King. And we're having to get used to that. It's a change. But you know what? People do come and go. But God has always got big ears. He always wants to hear from you. And even if Noddy hasn't got big ears, God has. And I want to encourage you today that we should be focusing on the one who is truly good because he listens. Now, someone said to me once, "Oh, Stephen, you missed your calling as a counsellor. You're so good to talk to." And I thought, well, not everyone would say that. But you know what? What really matters is God is so good to talk to. And after a good session of unloading my heart to God, I will turn around and say, "God, boy, you're good. You are good." Yeah. Because he hears me. He understands me. He knows what I'm going through. He will walk all the way with me. And he'll walk all the way with you. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Right, let's pray. Come on, stand up with me if you're able. Doesn't matter if you can't. But Father, we come to you in the glorious name of Jesus. And we say, Lord God, we want to talk to you. We want to talk to the God of our lives, the God who loves us, the God who reaches out to us, the God who is all hearing, the God who engages with us. Oh God, we want to talk with you now. And Lord, you know all the many things that are running through our hearts and minds. And we just come now and we say, Lord, can we leave them with you? Can we leave them with you, Lord? Lord, we don't want to be burdened with them for the rest of today. Lord, we just want to leave them at the foot of the cross. And so, people, let's do that now. Just put it down. Put it down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is happy to carry that burden, and we no longer have to do it. In Jesus' name, O God, we thank you for listening to us and engaging with us. We love you, God. Be with us, Lord, for the rest of this week. May we know you every day. May we keep talking to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.